DW Africa Link.
Imagine signing up for a job overseas, only to find yourself on the front lines of a foreign war. That's a grim reality facing some South Africans who were promised work in Russia, only to be deployed to the battlefield instead. Now, these are not just numbers. These are real people. These are people with families and dreams who are being exploited. Reports suggest that there is a growing network of recruiters exploiting economic hardship and desperation, luring people with promises of high-paying jobs in construction, in logistics, and even in hospitality. But once they arrive, the story changes. Contracts will vanish, passports are often confiscated, and the next stop is the battlefield, mostly. It is uncommon for young Africans to decline lucrative job offers, especially if they are coming from foreign countries. Why is this happening? Who is behind some of these schemes? And what does it say about Russia's recruitment tactics and the victims' vulnerability?
In my point of view, I think our government have to help them to come back home. And in terms of people asking that what they were doing in Ukraine, here in South Africa, we don't have enough jobs anymore. We are a lot. If now they say there is a work in another country, you have to pack your suitcase and go.
Due to high unemployment rate, now South Africans are also forced to go abroad, to go to other countries and search for greener pastures. As the breadwinners, it's not easy to just sit and say, and just wait for the government to give you a grant of 350. If you have a family, it's not even enough. So the government must just intervene and help them, because if they say they will never intervene, that means they will die there.
This is a call to action for our government to prioritize their safety and well-being. We demand swift and decisive intervention to bring our people home. We stand united in this crisis and urge our leaders to take immediate action.
As the South African government works its diplomatic channels to secure the return of 17 of its nationals trapped on the front lines in Ukraine, many are asking whether this cycle of deadly foreign recruitment will continue or if there's a way to avert it. That's what's coming up shortly. Stay with us. I am Ajua Tinkrama Domina, and you're welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The Ukrainian government has disclosed that more than 1,400 people from 36 African nations are fighting for Russia in its war against Ukraine. These recruits, due to little experience, end up getting killed, sometimes in less than a month, according to Ukraine's foreign minister. Now, South Africans, Kenyans, and Cameroonians are among the list of African countries with citizens fighting in a war they have no business with, all because of employment. The latest revelation by South African President Cyril Ramaphosa indicates that these recruits are between the ages of 20 and 39. Now, as the trend continues, what can African governments do to protect their citizens from these dangers? For more on this, we are joined by Thebogo Mashilompani. He's a national leader for the Forum for South Africa. It's a human rights and social justice organization. We also have our DW correspondent in Johannesburg, South Africa, Suso Kumalo. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking time for this discussion.
Thank you.
Greetings to you, and also greetings to the listeners. We appreciate the effort that you have brought us in, and so that we can be in this conversation. We appreciate.
Awesome. Let me begin with you, our expert. First of all, what are the stories you have heard? Because I'm sure there are a lot more of the stories that even the media has reported about these recruitments, the modus operandi, and how they are able to convince young people to leave their homes, sometimes fairly okay paying jobs to go into these foreign countries?
Yeah, what we hear is that there is recruitment that is taking place, and it's not a new recruitment. It has been happening. There have been recruitments before. People have been promised lucrative jobs, some in modeling, some in training to be some drones pilot and stuff. So, and people, because of unemployment, the high rate of unemployment, they end up being lured to such particular adverts and end up applying for such jobs because they realize that if I stay in my country, how will I survive? Whereas there's an opportunity here that is very clear that when I come back, I'll be financially stable. I can start my own business because my government is failing me to create opportunities for business, also to create opportunities for employment. So most of the people have been disguised in that fashion. And the situation also forces them to apply for such particular jobs without even thinking twice. Because when you are unemployed, you've got nothing. There's no income coming. Obviously, when there's an opportunity, you jump. You say, at least this is my luck. Let me try my luck. And yes, you get the response. And they say, no, we want you. You are going to be trained. And then earn this amount of money. You are going to be hooked. So that is the situation. That's what we hear from various individuals who also tried to apply for such particular jobs. Some were skeptical, but some decided to go.
Now, under international law, do we classify these under human trafficking or just maybe mercenary activities?
Two things, therefore, for us as the movement or organization. We know that as a missionary, you've been recruited. Knowingly so, that you've been recruited to go and assist another country during the war, and you'll be on their side and fighting against the others. So, if you did not know, you are recruited in the manner in which I've just explained. We'll classify that as human trafficking because you've been disguised. You were told that you are going to get this particular job, and then the recruiter knew exactly what he's going to achieve. So we cannot conclude at a moment and say, these are mercenaries or it's an issue of human trafficking. But from what they tell us, we'll classify it as human trafficking in terms of in terms of law, but if that is not the issue, they knew, then it will be classified as a mercenary, and then which is actually prohibited in terms of Geneva Convention, and also in terms of the 1989 International Convention. So it is strictly prohibited, and then it can be it's a criminal. It's a crime. Mm. It's classified as a crime. So, but if it's human trafficking, obviously the people did not know what they were doing. But mercenary, they knew exactly what they were doing. And in terms of international law, it is prohibited.
In terms of identifying these recruiting agencies or groups, how does a young person, say in South Africa or in Kenya, know that this particular job advertisement I am seeing could likely land me in trouble?
It is highly difficult, even for somebody who's old. It is highly difficult to understand that actually these are scams because we also do apply outside of the country. There are adverts and then people do apply. So it is very difficult, honestly, to say, is this the real job or not? So if they applied under that disguise, you can't blame them because it happens to everybody. You'll realize that Africans, mostly nurses and doctors, they go overseas to work there. And then that can happen to them. But because they trust that this is a clear advert, they go to Russia, they go to China, they go to Saudi Arabia and so forth. And then if they go there discover that, no, there's no such a job. And then unfortunately, they wouldn't know because they applied properly, document scanned and everything, and they take it for granted. So it's very difficult in general to say you can identify that it is a scam.
Mm. It's such a tricky situation. Now, so let me come to you. You are a journalist on the ground. In terms of what the South African government has said about the 17 people who have called for help, we do know that when the news broke, we were told that investigations, a full-scale investigation, was being launched into this particular situation. First of all, two questions. What have the investigations revealed so far, if anything? And secondly, how are the families, you know, of the people involved reacting?
Yes, for the first question, so far the government still is on that statement of saying it's investigating. They are not going to speculate at the moment, and they are not going to comment further. Because this issue, like our guest says, it involves either human trafficking side or people going there as mercenaries, which is, of course, a violation of our law here in South Africa. So the government is still on that. The investigation is investigating, and obviously with that obligation of bringing the South Africans home. Remember, these are South Africans, bona fide South Africans. Once the government verifies that, it has to bring them home despite whatever. Any other thing will be solved when they come here. But in terms of the families themselves, there are worrying messages that are coming from the families. There are a lot of allegations that are involved. I've not spoken to any of the family members personally because, of course, for the 17th, the majority of them, they are in KwaZulu-Natal and, of course, were here in Johannesburg. But our sister publication, which is a News 24 online publication, has managed to speak to some of the relatives and, of course, got some documents to do with those that are there. So what we're getting from that, from those that have spoken to, is that relatives are saying their relatives who are in Russia were recruited by the Umkhonto weSizwe party that is led by former President Jacob Zuma. Those are allegations. I want to make it clear that they are coming from those that were interviewed by our News 24 colleagues there, journalists there. So they are saying they were recruited to go there and train so that they come back to South Africa and become bodyguards. But now, once they went there, the families claim that they disappeared. They couldn't talk to them for almost about 10 days. Then when they re-established the connection or the communication, they then alleged that they were now being trained to go and fight in Ukraine. They were now being ill-treated, and claiming also that they even spoke to the leadership of the Umkhonto weSizwe party to try and rescue them from that, but nothing came. This is how now they claim they started communicating with the office of the president, and we had the president issuing that statement. But the most worrying thing, just as I round it up, is that the News 24 says it got hold of a letter that was circulated amongst the 17. I just want to read just a short paragraph from that letter, purportedly written by the former president, Jacob Zuma. This part that I want to read, it reads, "Your Excellency, while our resolve to support the Russian Federation remains unshaken, I must humbly and urgently appeal to you directly, sending this untrained and inexperienced volunteers into active combat is a certain tragedy. It would be a devastating loss to their families, to our party, and to the future and Russio-African relations." Then one other very interesting part, it says, "We request your interventions to investigate the possibility of cancelling their current infantry contracts, which were signed under patently misleading circumstances." So this is a letter that is purportedly coming from President Jacob Zuma, that those that are in Russia are circulating with their families. Whether it's true, MK has not owned up to it, but these are some of the allegations that are coming up intertwined into there. But as the government has cautioned, it has said no speculation at the moment. They are going to investigate and the truth will come out.
That's very important. I mean, when some of these issues happen, you hear a lot of angles and stories to those points. But it's important that once authorities have indicated that full-scale investigations are happening, if anybody has some of these speculations, they could go to the right quarters to report them. But let me come back to you, Sebogo. In terms of the numbers we are looking at, Ukraine's foreign minister has said that about 1,400 Africans are currently on the front lines fighting for Russia. What strategic purpose do you believe that Russia is hinged on? For which reason it is recruiting Africans to fight for them?
Obviously, they want to strengthen their military, because obviously this is war. They are also losing their soldiers. So they just want to augment using African people. And we can also say it is because they want to extend their influence in Africa. This might also seem to me that these are the testing grounds, if indeed that is true, that they want to check if they can influence Africa and what is the response of Africa. And then if Africa does not respond harshly, obviously this will continue, as we had before, that this is not for the first time. Making sure that they avoid casualties from the Russia military, and then Africans rather die. So it means that they are using them as shields and trying to save the lives of Russians, but replacing it with the lives of Africans. So it's bad. It's a bad situation if indeed it's true. And that also sent a question to us as Africans to say, is this Russia that we think it is? Is how we view Russia, or we are just told the lie, or we are sold the lie that Russia loves Africa? Because if indeed you love Africa, you'll know the channels in terms of support. You will go diplomatic channels and say we want support and so forth.
I'm glad you have mentioned diplomacy, because as you were speaking, that's the only thing that was ringing in my head. This could be a full-blown diplomatic turmoil. What are we looking at in terms of how far it can disrupt the relations between the countries which citizens are being recruited and Russia, or wherever the war is happening?
Yeah, most of the African countries behave in a more subservient manner. They are on a begging mood or mode. So that is why Russia is taking advantage. But if Africa rises, and then the leaders of Africa rises and say enough is enough, obviously that will break the relationship between Russia and African countries, because that is what actually need to happen. If indeed Russia recruited these people, it is established that it recruited the people, Africa must rise and say enough is enough, Russia, you are not who we think you are. And then that automatically will affect the relationship that we have with Russia. For example, South Africa has trade relations with Russia. We exchange, we give them wine, they give us refined oil, petroleum and stuff, and then we also give them refineries and stuff. So we have that relationship in terms of oils and fuel and stuff. So that relationship, when it's broken, obviously we'll need to look for another partner in terms of trade. And obviously Russia is not only trading with South Africa, it's trading with other African countries. And then the sad part is that while it trades with other African countries, it also undermines the integrity and the sovereignty of that particular countries. We must look at it in that fashion. We must not look at it as if there's a someone criminal somewhere recruited these individuals, if indeed allegations are true. So we must look at it in a different phase to say, It means Russia undermines us. Russia takes us for granted, because if we've got this cooperating relationship with Russia, why is Russia now jumping and then just recruiting people, whether it's through the MK party or so forth? Russia knows that the current state of South Africa, it's a so-called government of national unity, and then which MK is not part of it. MK does not speak on behalf of the government. So the government, the president speaks on behalf of the government, whether we like the GNU or we don't like it, but the president speaks. So any individual who is aligned in terms of recruitment or selling out the people or the South Africans to Russia, that person or that organization must be punished severely so.
Right. Thank you for those comments. Now, before we prepare to wrap up, Suso, let me still on the diplomatic conversation ask about the statement by the South African government. We heard that they are engaging diplomatic channels. How far has that gone?
The government is keeping it under wraps. Our government, usually when it comes to diplomatic relations on sensitive issues, it doesn't issue a statement. The last statement that was issued by the presidential spokesperson, Magwenya, he made it clear that the government is commenting no further. What they are doing now is they are engaging the Russian counterparts, trying to find out. But what we also have heard is from the Ukrainian ambassador here, who has said, as far as they are concerned, they also suspect that it is Russia that's recruiting those people. So these are some of the statements that we have heard in the diplomatic channels. But as to who is being engaged, whether it is the ambassador here or it is direct with the administration, the Putin administration in Russia, the government is not saying it out now. But for sure, that assurance has been given that something has been done diplomatically.
Right. And are there calls, you know, for tighter recruitment procedures currently in the country? How is the atmosphere really like? Civil society standing up, you know, to call for some of tighter restrictions?
Definitely people are calling for government to do something about this, because as you see the chain, it seems some, these people are lured and told lies, and when they get there, things change. So people are saying there should be stringent measures in terms of who is able to advertise and recruit in South Africa. So the government should monitor that. But above all, people, for now, the focus of the majority of South Africans is that those people that are trapped there, the government should do everything to get them out. Once they are out and back in the country, everything else can be solved. But the other thing that communities are calling for is that the government must create employment. As long as these youngsters are here in the country and they are working and they are not suffering, they wouldn't see a need to fall into this scam. So they are saying that gap of unemployment and people who are suffering, they will always go back. So to close that channel, create employment and make sure it's not very easy for anyone to recruit from South Africa overseas.
Now, Tabogo, let me ask you your final question. There are two in one. Are there any legal consequences that the Russian government can face, you know, from the people who have been recruited under false pretense? And what are the solutions that you propose going forward to deal with this particular situation?
As I mentioned at the beginning, that the Geneva Convention is very clear on that, that you can recruit people from other countries. And if Russia indeed recruited, it had violated the Geneva Convention. So obviously there must be a ban or some sort or sanction of some sort to Russia. And then if it is the South Africans who deliberately went there knowing, in terms of South African law, they must also be punished under the South Africa's Foreign Military Assistance Act of 1998, where obviously there'll be punishment there that will be leveled against them, and then preferred against them, and then they'll be punished. So those are the two things. And then lastly, in terms of recruitment, I'll add from what you said, from what the communities are saying, they say there must be very, very strict ways in which people don't just come and advertise in the country and recruit people. But also that talks to our intelligence in the country to say, if people can come and recruit people in this manner, but we claim that we've got intelligence, that is so questionable. It actually opens doors for people to come in the country and do as they please, because the intelligence is not there. So that speaks also to intelligence.
Thank you for speaking with us, Tabogo Mashilompane. He is the national leader for the Forum for South Africa. We also had Thuso Kumalo, DW correspondent in Johannesburg, also joining us from South Africa. Thank you both for your time. Now, as you have heard from the expert and our correspondent, what started as a promise of opportunity has turned into a nightmare for those caught in Russia's recruitment web. Vulnerable South Africans and even Kenyans are among other nationalities who are being lured by fake job offers and now find themselves in harm's way, far from home and far from the life they imagined. The story is not just about deception, it's about desperation, exploitation and the global ripple effect of war. Now, as governments scramble to respond and families wait for answers, one question remains. How do we protect people from becoming pawns in conflicts they never chose. Please share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I am Ajua Tinkrama Domina. Thank you for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.